Sunday.
Live at AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, it is the Inside Slant.
We are Flager and Briggs. Welcome aboard, and I'll tell you what, it's just been a great morning. Oh. Everything went on without a hitch, you can tell.
Right, this is the first time in a month we've gone on the air on time.
And I want to thank our new producer, Cole.
Gate, I believe, is his last name.
Cole Gate is his last name. And we want to appreciate everything that you've done, Cole. And you can check it out on Twitter. Rick actually sent a picture or tweeted out a picture of Cole. You know,
on
just
the board.
To give Cole his due. And he's our new producer, and you can see him. We just tweeted it out, so there's a picture of Cole out there. So, maybe you can go out and check the picture out.
Yeah.
Just give him a little Twitter.
Give him a retweet. Give him a little love. Tweet him back. Let him know you appreciate this show. Actually started on time for the first time since September, I believe, I'm not mistaken.
Right. So, Cole, props to you, buddy. And, just check out Twitter there. And
that's
put it out there.
And also get on Twitter at Asylum Football. Get your questions in. All those email addresses Rick's always yapping about, you can send us some questions there.
It is asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com.
There you go. Perfect. So get those questions
Very
in.
Very hard to remember that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know why I can't remember it because
it's stupid.
That's a fair point. So, Rick, it is November. It is week 9. You want to talk about it's time for the rubber to meet the road. We are in the playoff push. We are not far away from the fantasy playoffs starting. A lot of trade deadlines coming up. I know I've faced that in a couple leagues, tried to swing a few deals. It is go time. But the big news this week, Rick, the bye week,
along with
the injuries, is brutal. This show is going to be very important to you because trying to set a lineup this week for me personally was a disaster.
Well, I know we talked about that first big bye week is really fantasy impactful when it comes to that, but this week, Atlanta, Buffalo, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, and Tennessee. Now, Tennessee, I mean, you can almost throw out the can. There's not much there.
Kendall
a little
Wright,
bit.
Delaney Walker. You're missing some guys.
Oh, exactly. But, I mean, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago.
Atlanta.
Buffalo when they had, especially when they had the running backs going. But even now,
Sammy Watkins on a roll. You hate
Kyle
to see
Orton
him take a week
hitting
off.
Some lineups.
Yeah, you've seen that. So, you're going to have to dig deep this week, and I know I was digging real deep last night trying to get some lineups put together, so get those questions in. 646-478-4679. I guess I'd say it too fast. 646-478-4679. If you'd like to call and join the show. Hey, and thanks for bearing with us again last week, another pre-recorded show. Although I was a little excited about that one, giving you guys a taste of what it is we do on the Fantasy Sports Network, if you haven't got a chance to check that show out. I think we talked about it a little bit on past shows. Real life has really, really gotten in the way of the asylum here, and things only seem to happen on show days. So just happy to be here today.
About every day, but especially on show days.
Yeah, I was telling Rick last night, I won't get into all the details. I've got a sick family member. My grandfather is really ill and nearing the end, and I've got some other family health issues going on around it. And I told Rick, I will be here tomorrow morning for the show in the studio no matter what, unless an anvil just falls out of the clear view blue sky and lands on my head like in Bugs Bunny, because that's the way our lives have gone these last several weeks.
Oh, no question about that. And, another monumental occasion is going to take place for yours truly
soon. It's not your time, too, is it?
My 10-year-old... flip phone.
I think we need to tweet a picture of that disaster out.
My 10-year-old flip phone finally yesterday, right when I was relying on it, the screen went totally blank.
Right.
I have no idea. It still works. I can call you if I knew your number, but if you're on the contact list, can't see that, can't see a text, can't do any of that kind of stuff. So now I got to break down and get one of these newfangled,
intelligent phones.
Yeah. Is that what they're called?
Smartphone.
I got you.
Rick will be tweeting mobily now. I can't wait to see that. So, all right, we got all that stuff out of the way, Rick. Let's talk a little bit of football here. Looks like big news for me and a lot of fantasy owners with all these bye weeks and everything going on. A.J. Green is back this week. And I think more importantly, I think if A.J. Green is back, he's going to be good. He's going to be ready to go. What's the impact of Mohamed Sanu? Because he has really put together himself a nice several weeks here with A.J. Green out.
Well, yeah, he has. And I've been kicking that around. I'm seeing some tweets about Sanu and so forth and just talking to other people. Well, you know, A.J. Green gets back, you know, you might as well just, you know, you start benching him and this, that, and the other. But I'm looking at Sanu, you know, over the course. Now, granted, Green's had some injury problems, but Sanu, you know, he had a kind of a down week against Baltimore the first week. He had like 36 yards, but he had 7 catches. I mean, a PPR format. Then he had 84 and a touchdown. Then he had 44 in a bye week. He had 70 and a touchdown. You know, I mean, he's been fairly solid all year long, whether or not Green's in there or not. And he has had only one game, and that was last week against Indianapolis, or the week before, week 7 against that Indianapolis, that 27-0 drubbing they took. That's the only single-digit fantasy output he's put in PPR format. So, I mean, I don't see where he's going to be, you know, don't worry about benching him. I think he's going to be fine. I think it's just going to help the Cincinnati offense, especially now, you know, Bernard's out this week. So, you know, I just think they're going to be using the whole package.
And here's the thing. With A.J. Green, A.J. Green is the, you know, the classic, the hacky thing. He's matchup proof. And it's never mattered. He's going to get his number. It doesn't matter who he's facing, what defense they're facing. A.J. Green's going to get his. I think what this does is lowers the ceiling for Mohamed Sanu, but he's still going to be relevant. And this is the first time, really, since Chad Johnson and T.J. Houshmandzadeh were there, then they left, and A.J. Green took over, that there's now looks to be a legitimate second receiver there in Cincinnati. I think his numbers suffer a little bit on the high end. I don't think you see the big breakout game. I think you're back to sort of a DeSean Jackson, like you're hoping for that big play, that big one over the top. He's not going to have 7, 8, 9 grabs. That's A.J. Green's role. But especially in a week like this and going forward, I think this has been valuable snaps. This has been valuable time for Mohamed Sanu. He certainly stays relevant. He certainly, in most cases, probably still belongs in your lineup, but I think the ceiling's lowered on him a little bit. That's my take on it.
Maybe a little bit, but I still think he's certainly a decent play, and I don't think it. Wow, now A.J. Green's back, Sanu disappeared. I don't think that happened.
But
let's get to the chat room here.
We got some questions.
And I don't want to fall too far behind. We have a standard question for a flex position: Shane Vereen, Eric Decker, or Trey Mason. I think it's Vereen. In my book, Trey Mason is going up against San Francisco. And going against everything that Jeff Fisher has always done, this RBBC that he's trying to employ in St. Louis ain't working. I mean, Zach Stacy's a big disappointment. Trey Mason had a nice breakout game a couple weeks ago against Seattle. They go back to throwing in Cunningham and so forth. And I've made this point over and over, and I will stand by it. I understand giving a guy a blow here or there. I mean, you put in LeGarrette Blount for Le'Veon Bell on occasion, James Starks for Eddie Lacy. You can go on like that. But this, you know, each guy runs differently. They're different speeds, different styles. The line has to block. I think you lose rhythm, and you see this over and over. You see where New Orleans has been. Now that Ingram's back again, they're going with him basically as a steady running back in that situation, and they're looking a lot better from that standpoint. So, anyway, get back to the question. I throw Trey Mason out, especially in a standard. I think I'd have to go Vereen. I don't trust the New York situation. They're awful, and I'm going Vereen.
Yeah, I think – you only ask the question because it's a standard league, and Vereen's value, his real, where you talk about him as almost an every week starter, is in a PPR format. But even with the receptions, the yardage is going to be there. He's going to have the opportunity for touchdowns. Eric Decker's been a huge letdown, and it's been a disaster there in New York. I think Mike Vick's starting today, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But they're already saying Geno Smith may be back in week 10. I don't know why you come out and say that, not knowing how Michael Vick's going to perform this week. And exactly, the three-headed monster. I mean, this is the Benny Cunningham effect there in St. Louis, and you nailed it. This is so against what Coach out there does that they want to give Cunningham work. And Zach Stacy's been a letdown, and Trey Mason has popped his head up a little bit. I don't know why he doesn't give the ball to Benny Cunningham, because he did this to Zach Stacy a few times last year. But it's a mess. Nobody can get in rhythm. We saw it, and they sort of admitted to it down in Miami, I believe it was,
right,
when Sean Marino was back, that we're going to give somebody the carries here. Or no, I'm sorry, it was Cleveland when we week with Terrence West and with Crowell and with Tate, gave them all three, and they end up losing by 20 to freaking Jacksonville. You got to get a guy in a rhythm, and St. Louis isn't doing that now. So yeah, I think this is Vereen pretty – the way that offense is rolling – it's going to be a 17-13 game because that's the way this year's been going. But this game tonight, this afternoon, should be played in the 40s between Denver and New England.
No doubt.
Which means it's going to be 17-13 and Vereen has 2 points. This year has been awful.
It has been a crazy year, but that's what makes it fun. Okay, we have a bye week blues question, and we have quite a few of those.
Yeah,
and Scott comes on
we're
as well.
Have plenty of those this week.
Standard format. Terrence West, or do we take a flyer on Charles Sims?
Sims is active. What makes me nervous, I went out and picked him up in almost all of my leagues this week. Doug Martin's been such a letdown, and he's been banged up.
He's not going to be playing. But the thing is, to your point, I mean, Sims is activated, but they're not really coming out how they're going to use him. Bobby Rainey's got the start.
I have a feeling if Bobby Rainey goes out and doesn't fumble, which is a big if, he may be the guy, and he has performed when given the opportunity, save for the turnovers, and that's what lands him on the bench at some point in the game. Yeah, maybe let's go way back in the way back machine, a la Tiki Barber. Maybe he figures out how to hold on to the thing, and all of a sudden he gets rolling. With Terrence West, I mean, you got Tate there, you got Crowell. I think there is no more a guarantee that Terrence West touches the ball as Sims does. So in this case, I'm going to take the upside here, bye week blues. I'm going to recommend Sims here, thinking he's going to get an opportunity. I don't know with Terrence West. Crowell's clearly the goal line guy. Tate, I assume, is going to get the start. If he gets it rolling, you've seen. Now, unfortunately, they're not playing the Steelers this week. He only succeeds against the Steelers. Ben Tate chews them up. I think there's just so much more upside on Sims, even not knowing what work he's going to get. I'm going to recommend him, and I've slid him into a couple of the lineups, a couple I haven't. I've chosen other guys over him. But in this matchup, I'm going to go with Sims just on a gut check, hope, you know, because I think I know what West's role is going to be. Yeah, Sims got some upside anyhow.
Well, you go to the Cleveland thing, you basically have West in there with Crowell and Tate. There's three guys.
Right.
Martin's not playing. So you basically have Rainey and Sims, and, you know, maybe the carries won't be there for Sims. I'm not sure. You know, he's coming back. But I think being the fact that he is activated, he's going to see some touches. And, you know, like to your point, I mean, Bobby Rainey's lost 3 fumbles already this year. And that doesn't sit well with Lovie Smith.
No, if he loses one early in this game, Chris Sims will get 25 carries before it's all said and done this week.
Yeah, it's a gamble and a chance, but why not?
Because here's the gamble. We've seen Bobby Rainey go out and get it rolling. He had those couple games late last year where he was putting up monster numbers. If he's doing that, Sims may not see a lot of work. But I know West isn't going to see a lot of work. And if I thought there was a chance he'd get goal line carries, I might lean that way. But that seems to be Crowell's role. So I just don't know what West's role is going to be. Way more upside on Sims.
Yeah.
It's risky. It's gutsy. But that's this week. That's what's fun about this week, I guess. Hey, because everybody has these decisions to make.
Exactly. We have another standard question. They need one from these three. And this is standard. Bradshaw, Hillman, or Gore? Hey, I'll tell you what.
Well, I wish I had that problem.
Yeah,
this
boy,
week.
No
My
kidding.
Goodness.
As much as I love Bradshaw, and as much as I love Hillman, start Frank Gore until he retires. I mean, they got a great matchup at home against St. Louis. And, boy, I don't know. That is such a tough question. And you got three great backs. You're not starting any. I mean, this is from
what two are you starting? This is awesome. Nice job for you this week.
Yeah, I tell you what. I tell you, it go. It's man, it is a toss-up. That is a tough problem to have.
Yeah, I think on this list, yeah, I love what Bradshaw's been doing. I think in a PPR, I may consider him a little more. I think I throw him out. Yeah,
well, Hillman still get the yardage for receiving,
right,
too.
Right.
So
Hillman's very intriguing because in all reality, this should be a shootout. This should be a heck of a game. There's really nobody else there. But I'm going to agree with you. I think Frank Gore, you know, the matchup's tough. St. Louis, that's a good defense right there. But I think, you know, Hyde's been a letdown. Frank Gore probably sees 20 to 25 carries. I don't know if they get in a shootout in Peyton Manning tends to lose his head trying to upstage Tom Brady all the time. I think it's Gore just based on opportunity on work. A lot of But, God, Hillman could go out and put up three touchdowns. You get down inside the 10, you get one of those ridiculous games. It's Gore for me, but it's really, really close. I'm going to go Gore, Hillman, Bradshaw. But if you want to start Hillman over Gore, I certainly wouldn't argue with you.
I mean, yes, the Rams give up 144 yards a game, 4.7 yards a carry. If they're not pounding Frank Gore, I don't know what San Francisco is going to be doing.
Right.
And you know, I just think he's going to get the opportunities. And, you know, I would.
Gore's the safe play. How about
that?
Yeah,
I would. Certainly would.
Hillman's the upside play. Gore's the safe play. So that's that cop out I like to do. So then next week when you call in screaming at me that I was wrong, I say, hey, I told you. Are you risk averse?
I think they're all safe. I don't think you're going to lose with any of them. I think Bradshaw against the Giants. You know, yeah, it's standard. You're not getting the reception points, but you're still getting the yardage points. I think that comes into effect the same with Hillman. And you could talk me in any way, but, I mean, just at first blush, I just think the way – it seems to me when it really gets down to it, and, I mean, Gore seems to be the guy. And he just seems to get a 20-ton chip on the shoulder and carry the
and
team.
And just takes off. Here's what I recommend to you. If you've got to decide between these three, that means you've got two amazing starting backs and these three on the back end of it.
You're probably going to win anyway.
You've got slightly less than 3 hours to kick off on the worst bye week / injury week in 4 years I can remember. Go ahead and throw one of those guys up on the trade block and just maul somebody, rip them off on a trade, because this morning would be the time to do it. Throw Ronnie Hillman up on the trade block, or hell, throw Frank Gore up on the trade block. You probably get freaking Antonio Brown back for them this week. That's what I recommend. You still got 3 hours to work something out. There's my recommendation right there.
Man, that's
take somebody to the cleaners this morning, because there's people like me who are starting Chris Sims, like the previous question. Now's the time to make your move.
Exactly. That's a good point. 646-478-4679. If you want to call in and ask a question, let's get back to the chat room. We still have some questions to catch up with. Standard. Hawkins or Andre Johnson?
Oh, you know, I like what Hawkins has been doing, but Andre Johnson is Andre Johnson. And, yeah, I'm not going to recommend against Andre Johnson for a Hawkins. There's a lot of guys I would. You know, Andre hasn't been the Andre years past. But, yeah, give me Andre. I'm going to play it safe, fair.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Andre as well. I really love what Hawkins is doing. And, you know, but it is Cleveland, and they've been kind of, you know, not saying Ryan Fitzpatrick and that offense has been real consistent either, but, you know, it is Andre Johnson. He's still the main target, and, you know, I just like him a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, in a PPR, I need two from Edelman, LaFell, and Bolden. I'd go Bolden and Edelman in PPR.
Yeah. Ugh. LaFell's been rolling, though.
He really has, and he had a great week last week.
Here's the problem with Edelman. Now that Gronk is rolling, he's still making plays, though. You know what? I'm going to go with you. Let's go. If I got to have one of those New England guys, I think Edelman has the best chance of having a big impact, especially in a PPR format. Bolden's a number one. He's safe. He's consistent, even with Vernon Davis back. I'm going to agree with you there. Rick, we have got two calls on the line, so let's jump over to those. If you can keep up with the questions over there, let's start with area code 240. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Dwight again.
Oh, Dwight, he's sobered up a little. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing a little tailgating as usual. And I've got a question here.
All right.
I've got Jerick McKinnon and Michael Floyd, and I need to pick one as a flex. And I know for a fact, whoever I choose to play will give me 0 points.
Right.
If I want someone else to choose.
So somebody to blame, that's what you're looking for here. I'll let you start.
Absolutely.
I think you're in a PPR format, or are you standard?
Standard 14-team league.
I think, to be honest with you, I tell you what, after that goose egg last week that Michael Floyd put up, you know, I think there's the potential that you could get. You could have a potential big game with him, but you could have a potential goose egg or very minimal points. I think I'd have to roll McKinnon. He's the guy. Osiata's catching a few passes here and there, but gets very few carries. I think McKinnon easily.
Yeah, he's definitely the safer play. You know he's going to get opportunities. He's probably not going to take the goose egg. I don't think Floyd takes another goose egg.
I don't either.
That was a weird situation there. You know, going up against Dallas, he's playing a little bit of defense, though. I'm going to agree, McKinnon. He's going to get the most opportunities. Your Redskins down there in D.C. aren't exactly the 85 Bears defensively. They defend the run a little bit, but I could see McKinnon getting off a little bit here. This game's going to be played close, so they're going to continue to run the ball. You're not going to see some type of air show out of Bridgewater because they're down 20 early going up against the Skins. So, yeah, especially if you're looking to avoid that goose egg, McKinnon's your play.
Okay, well, I have a follow-up here. I mentioned a couple calls ago that I'm pretty conservative, and I cannot quit Rashad Jennings and Ryan Matthews. I have them on my bench. They were my running backs to start the season. They got hurt, and they've been sitting there ever since. I know, but I couldn't stand the thought of them getting healthy and someone destroying me in the playoffs with these two players. Would you keep holding on to them now that we're this close, or should I start taking shots at these guys on the waiver wire, like this new second guy for Pittsburgh who's passing Wheaton? I forget his name.
Yeah, Latavius Bryant.
Yeah, Bryant. I'd hold on to Rashad Jennings. He's going to get back here, and I think he slides into that role. I got more Ryan Matthews love than anybody in the world. I love that man, and I don't know why. To use your phrase, I can't quit him. I can't do it. However, with the emergence of Brandon Oliver, now Donald Brown's back healthy. You know, presumably Ryan Matthews is going to be back in the next week or two here. With what Oliver's done, I think it's gotten too muddy, and I think I may have to quit Ryan Matthews. I, too, have him sitting at the end of several benches. But if I could get a Bryant or there's somebody out there, if you're weak at a spot, I think Ryan Matthews is a guy I wouldn't feel too bad. I don't see him getting off even coming into the fantasy playoffs. Maybe 1 week the matchup hits right, but there's going to be no consistency out of him. But I'm sticking with Rashard Jennings. I know you got him on a lot of teams too, Rick. I'm not giving up on him. Williams has been a big letdown. He hasn't taken advantage of the opportunity the way I thought he would when Jennings went down, and even as a legit second, a Joik Bell to Reggie Bush is what I thought Andre Williams would be going into the year. It hasn't happened. So Jennings is going to get his when he gets back. But Ryan Matthews, I think, yeah, with the emergence of Oliver, it's gotten way too murky there in San Diego for me.
Yeah, and Donald Brown's come back. I don't know how much more impact he's going to have, but, you know, if he's healthy, they're going to keep him in the mix a little bit. You know, I agree with Rick. Andre Williams certainly hasn't stepped up and taken anything. When Rashad Jennings is back, he's going to be back. He was doing fairly well the beginning of the year. Even when the Giants dropped those first two badly, he was still putting out, you know, decent enough numbers. They just weren't scoring a whole lot. I think you'll see a lot out of Jennings if he comes back healthy. And I wouldn't give up on him because he will be certainly the number one guy in New York.
Well, thanks a lot, fellas. I'm feeling a lot better about myself this morning. Cheers.
All right, cheers.
Same to you, buddy.
All right, good to hear from you, Dwight. Good luck this week.
Okay, we have, let's see, we need a replacement for Romo.
Yeah, Romo out this week.
Two,
we didn't get to that name.
Two fractures in his back. We haven't really covered any headlines yet, but yeah, Romo's going to be, he's considered very questionable. I don't think he's going to be playing. Tannehill, Flacco, or Palmer?
Tannehill, Flacco, or Palmer?
Oh, you give me Palmer every day.
Yeah, I think he's the most consistent. Wish I had the guts to pull the trigger on Flacco. That Steelers defense is so bad, but there's something about that Steelers-Ravens game. every time they play twice a year. I don't have the stones to do it. Carson Palmer is definitely the safer play. So let's jump back to the phone lines. Rick, area code 609, if I can hit the button. Hey, how's it going?
Got Jersey in the house there, man. Yeah, I had to take down a little man last week, 206 to 140, weekly high, most points scored all year. So, hey, quick question. In my PPR league, you know, I got rid of Andre Williams. I got rid of Crowell because I got Forte on a bye. You know, Rashad Jennings will come back healthy hopefully next week. So I think I'll be well with Talaferro. I got Denard Robinson, especially with that 10-point rushing touchdown. I think Talaferro could be the new Brandon Jacobs. So I think I'm good there. But with Marshall on a bye, I got Sanders. I picked up LaFell. I had Odell Beckham. Terrence Williams available, but Williams hit or miss with Dallas. Beckham, they might get a bigger role. But do you like LaFell this week, maybe going against Tlaib or going further, you know, for the rest of the season? Or you like Odell Beckham in that PPR league?
Wow, okay. I tell you what, I really love Odell Beckham, but the way LaFell is coming on right now, I tell you, they're rolling, and it is PPR, and I tell you what, I think I'd have to go LaFell over Beckham slightly, but they're close.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Beckham is quickly he's looking. I love what the kid's doing, and I've got him starting a lot of leagues this week. But he almost reminded me of Terrence Williams a little bit, where you're counting on those touchdowns. He's not putting up big reception or yardage numbers, but he's fine in the end zone. He's been that guy. I have to assume, and we've talked about it a lot, this game's probably going to be played in the 20s just because we all assume it's going to be played in the 40s, and it should be played in the 40s. You're trying to keep up with Peyton Manning, and you know, Peyton Manning play well in New England, but LaFell's going to have the better of the opportunities. We talked about it. You know, I think all those guys, Edelman, Gronk, obviously is going to be a big part of this. But LaFell's got rolling a little bit, and when a receiver gets that rapport with Tom Brady, and it hasn't happened a ton over the years, look what with Wes Welker, sometimes with Edelman, he'll find that guy and lean on him. What scares me with Beckham is I hate counting on a touchdown or two, which is what Beckham has done. I love the kid, and I'm going to be playing him, and in keeper leagues, I'm holding on to that kid. Right. He's going to be a superstar. But for this week, I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, and it, just to expand on that, you know, I learned a lesson early on this year when in preseason and so forth. If you recall, they had, they brought to attention, you know, Tom Brady was really praising Brandon LaFell. And then the beginning of the year, he really wasn't there, and it was kind of like, you know, oh, it's more code talk or whatever. I tell you what, I think Brady really likes this kid. It just takes a while really to get into this offense with him. But I tell you, he's there now, and I believe LaFell is a real legit guy right now.
All right, I'll keep him in there. And the last thing is I got Gronk in both leagues, and, you know, he's really gone off. One of the guys offered me, actually the guy that runs our other league, standard league, he wanted to give me, like, Donnell, you know, which is the Giants tight end, for either Verain or any of his running backs. He really didn't have any running backs that really set me on fire. Because I think Gronk is a guy you can win your matchups every week. And I have Brady in that league, too. So I told the guy I didn't want to do the trade. Don't you think that was a smart move? Donnell, you don't know what he's going to do.
Oh, definitely.
And, I mean,
God, I don't want to give
it. I mean, I got running backs like Tate and, you know, Bell and, you know, Hyde and Randall and, you know, guys like that that, you know, can fill in. Like, at least most of my guys are off their buys. But I just don't trust Donnell. He could go anywhere with Eli. And his running backs weren't really any better than what I had. And Vereen's hit or miss, you know, and would be his best back maybe. And I don't want to do the trade. And I thought it was right thing to do, and I just want to run it by you.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. The price tag for Gronk right now that he has it going and that Patriots offense is rolling, is a number one RB and a complimentary piece, or a number one wide receiver and a complimentary piece. It's you don't want to put together too much of a package, especially as solid as that of that team is that you have. These are going to be guys you're going to have a hard time getting in your lineup. It's going to be – Gronk's real expensive right now, and you sit pat there, count on those 20 points a week and just – all the way to the.
Exactly. And that's what I was looking for.
To give you an idea of the price tag on a Gronk, there is a trade in what Rick and I call our League of Consequence. You know, we've been in for years and years.
Right.
Calvin Johnson and Eddie Lacy went for Gronkowski and Vereen.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. Yeah, you would have to definitely throw a lot more in there. And like I said, I won the last 3 weeks. I won the weekly highs, 147 points, and last week 153. So I've scored the two most weekly highs in the first 8 weeks out of anybody. So I got it there, you know, and my team, that's why I did Gronk. I took a thing. I was sitting on both legs. I got him like maybe third, fourth round. I took a thing on him because I had Brady in one. Like I said, you know, I don't like taking injured guys. Let me take a risk. But, you know, sometimes risk-reward, you take a chance, it works out. Other times you don't. Sometimes things work out there, you know what I mean, for you. So that's why, again, I'm 4-4 in that league, and I stunk the first 4 weeks. I think I won one game. And after that, man, I've been on a roll, and it's just a matter of my guys are coming together now, you know what I mean?
What put you on that roll is Gronk. I mean, I can almost guarantee on your whole roster.
Him and Brady. On my 4-4 team. They both were struggling. So they've came there. But like I said, hopefully this week here with my PPR league where I'm 8-0, going against a guy 2-6, I should win. And I think picking up Denard and Talaferro will help me because, like I said, I lost Forte, who's been carrying me all year long. Gronk and Sanders carried me last week. Miami's defense last week, I'm playing them. So it is a pretty good thing. Do you like Bailey this week or do you like I also have what's it called, kicker, too. I have Bailey and Eagles kicker in one league, and I got Bailey and St. Louis's kicker in my standard league. What's anyone you like better than I've been going with Bailey most of the time, but who do you like?
Well, Bailey doesn't miss for one thing, and he's certainly going to be better over St. Louis because I don't think they're going to be scoring much against San Francisco. Now, Cody Parker for Philadelphia is intriguing because they're probably going to score quite a bit, but, you know, I think you're – splitting hairs right now. Like I said, Dan Bailey doesn't miss, and with Brandon feeding the quarterback today, you're liable to see some field goal attempts with them.
And
so,
some long ones,
and
too.
And some long ones,
you know,
so why not?
The ball over the 50.
Yeah, in my PPR, like long ones, like if it's a 50-yard, I get 7 points on there. Now, I do have Arizona's kicker and my standard like M. Bailey. They're kind of a wash, you know what I mean? But I have Eagles kicker, and I have Bailey in my PPR league. And I usually bingo on Bailey. Once in a blue moon, a Philly kicker may kick a couple more points than him or vice versa. Bailey may, and the same thing the other league. Sometimes the Arizona Cardinals kicker might outdo Bailey a little bit. So I got both of them in one league, and I got Bailey and Polky, the Eagles kicker, in the other. So they're close. I figured I'd see what your guys' input was between them. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot. I mean, you know, to me, Dan Bailey's fine. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that.
All right. Hey, guys, I wish you best of luck. Hopefully I go 5-4 in the other, 9-0 in the other league. Junior's 5-3. I got to get him to 6-3. You know what I mean? I said, sorry, little man, but that had to take your toe last week and show you the respect. You know what I mean?
That's right. Boyle, that's so, all right. It was great to hear from
you. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we have where are we at here? Standard question. To me, it's really easy, but we'll get your take on it. Decker or Andrew Hawkins? It's Hawkins
for me all day long. Decker's been such a letdown. I'll be intrigued to see. It's something I'll be watching as a guy who's got Decker on a lot of benches. Is there maybe any rapport with Mike Vick actually getting the start? But I'm not going to trust it this week. I like what Hawkins has been doing, so roll with him.
Oh, yeah, and plus, you know, Scott Fish actually made a nice comment in the chat room. That, you know, Kansas City hasn't allowed a wide receiver over 60 yards or a touchdown in 3 weeks. Plus, they're at Kansas City.
Yeah.
And
you're playing an arrow.
And
man,
I'll add to that, it's the Jets. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't
forget.
Like that at all.
Yeah, never forget, you're the Jets.
And, Scott, since you are back, I apologize for not sending you the mailbag questions so you could prep. So we're just going to nail you to the wall here today, too. So.
What we do.
All right, we have another question here. Would you sacrifice for endgame? A little chess talk there.
Oh, I like it.
I can trade Rivers, Bradshaw, and Welker.
All right, hold on. I better write this one down. Rivers, Bradshaw, and Welker, okay.
For Stafford, Julio, and Macklin. It is standard 12-team league. The problem is if I trade Bradshaw, no replacement for Foster in the bye week next week.
Oh, you know what? Just based on one guy, and you never want to make trades based on one guy. You think it'd be Julio? I think he gets it going while he's been a letdown. If I can get my hands on Jeremy Maclin, I'd make Stafford been wildly inconsistent, but he can put you up at 500-yard week. He's going to hurt you some weeks, but if Julio does what Julio does, and Macklin's just been going nuts. He's a guy we don't talk enough about a guy, you know, we spent a lot of time talking Antonio Brown and some of these other guys just putting up cartoon-like numbers. Jeremy Macklin's been rolling just the same way in that Philadelphia offense. You can find a guy. You can find a Chris Sims. You can find somebody to bail you out during Foster's bye week. I'd make that deal in a heartbeat. I'd have to jump all over it. You're not looking like you're as in on it as I am, but I love that move.
I'm not as in on it as you are. I don't think, you know, I tell you what, there's two keys to this to me. The benefit of Maclin over Welker and the letdown of Stafford for Rivers. Because to me, there's a lot there. Rivers has been wildly consistent. And
right.
Stafford, to me, has been... You can't count on it. You know, he's one of these guys, you're not sure what you're going to get with him. Now, I'm not sure what this means.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Okay. All right. Now, are you saying you also have Brady? Now, if you have Brady, yeah, make that trade right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't even have to have the discussion.
Yeah, and he also has FJ. Okay, yes, he does. Yeah, make it, man. I'll tell you what, if you've got – oh, and he also has F. Jackson Gronk. So, I mean, yeah, so now you still have Brady, and then you would have Maclin, Julio – wow, and Gronk, yeah, I would do it. You're 4-4. You're trying to make a push for the playoffs. I think it's a great deal, yeah. Well, you got Brady sitting there, do it.
Yeah, I think because you're going to start Brady and Rivers Stafford. You know, just to get back to your point, I don't want to belabor this. I'm sure you got other questions in there. While Rivers has been wildly consistent, he's been wildly underwhelming too. They haven't been the big numbers we were hoping for. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean – Stafford's going to hang one on you every now and again. He's going to give you that 500-yard game every now and again, too. So, you know, let's just line them up. Bradshaw / Julio, that's a wash. You know, Welker, Maclin, that's a 10-time improvement. It's probably a 5-time disappointment. I'm just assigning random numbers here going down from Rivers to Stafford. And if you're starting Brady anyhow, that's a no-brainer for me. Hop all over that.
Yeah,
I mean, what Jeremy Macklin's been doing.
See, that's where – I wanted to bring this point up, you know, but we got a little tangent. Phillip Rivers has been wildly consistent, and you say, yeah, albeit it's not all that good. He's the fourth scoring quarterback right now.
Really? That
yes,
surprises me.
Exactly. Now, Brady, to his credit, is right below him at 7, and he's right behind Breeze and Roethlisberger, so you're not going to lose much. You got Tom Brady starting there in place of Rivers. You know, Matt Stafford is down there. He's only got the 11 touchdowns. He got 7 picks. That's what I don't like about the Stafford thing. But now you don't have to worry about it.
Right. Yeah,
I mean,
you've got Brady.
It's no big
deal.
And
as a backup plan, you know,
sure.
What are the odds Tom Brady gets hurt? I just nailed it, put a nail in his coffin,
right.
And I'm sorry to all Patriots fans yeah. And the Tom Brady family. But say for that 1 year, the guy doesn't get hurt. But if he does, I'm feeling pretty good. As disappointing as he's been, I'm feeling pretty good as having Matt Stafford as my backup to Tom Brady. You
exactly.
know what I mean? That I can live with. If I lose Tom Brady and I'm sliding in Matt Stafford, that's a pretty good situation.
Yeah, you're okay. So, yeah, that's fine. So, okay, let's get back to the chat room here. Like we said, we do that. And, all right, traded for Brandon. Oh, this guy also just traded for Brandon Marshall as well. Okay.
Buy low. I like that. A good buy low.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we have a 2-quarterback league. Romo and a bye week woes, so we need 2 from these guys.
Okay.
And it's a 2-quarterback league, so we need 2 from these 3. Bridgewater, Carr, Bortles.
Ooh, okay.
I think Carr is my first, just simply because he'll probably have to throw.
That's a
good
lot.
Point. And I can see some garbage points coming there. I tell you what, I like Bridgewater this week, quite frankly.
Yeah, Washington defense, isn't
it's not amazing, but you know, Minnesota's at home. They've been this is a very important game. Now, we talked about this on the Wednesday show, the Fantasy Sports Network show. This game right here will launch one of these two teams actually into a division race.
Right.
And, you know, the chances of Minnesota making a run in that division are basically nil, but they're playing better. And I think Bridgewater is the way to go over Bortles. I mean, Jacksonville's going to Cincinnati. I just don't like that matchup all that well.
Yeah. I think it's the matchup. I think you're right about that. I really want to go after Bortles here because he has the ability, you know, to put up the bigger passing numbers. He had the 336 against Tennessee, but that's Tennessee. You know, only 159 against Cleveland and 221 last week and against Miami in a game that they really weren't in. You know, I agree with Carr because they're going to be flinging it around, and I'm blanking on the matchup here. Who's Oakland have this week? I'm almost going to have to base all this on matchup. Oakland taking
Oakland's at Seattle.
Yeah, so that at Seattle's not good. Bridgewater with Washington's probably the best matchup there. And Bortles going up against Cincinnati, that's a bad matchup too. So, yeah, I'm going to agree. With that Cincinnati matchup, I think, is what sets it apart for me. It's going to be Bridgewater and Carr.
Yeah.
He's been fine. You know, Bridgewater, he has been unspectacular. Maybe, yeah, I'm not going to second-guess myself. I'm going to go Bridgewater and Carr. That's what I initially thought when you asked the question. Bortles intrigues me, but...
Well, you like Bortles.
I do.
And I like the kid.
Going
I like
forward,
the kid,
I like
but...
this guy. If I was in a dynasty league, I'd be all over Blake Bortles.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Eli Manning or Carson Palmer?
Oh.
You know me.
I'm going to go Carson Palmer just to the safety of it. Eli could get off and put up bigger numbers, but he could also...
Carson Palmer is putting up numbers.
Right, right. And he's doing it, and Larry Fitzgerald's rolling a little bit, and he did it even without using Floyd at all last week. So we got one on Twitter, Rick, from Andrew Decker. With Romo out, do you go Hoyer, Alex Smith, or Brandon Whedon?
Oh, Hoyer, Alex Smith, or Brandon Whedon. I'll tell you what, Alex Smith to me is – the guy on the bench, if you've got an injury, you have a bye week, throw him in. You'll get your 15 to 25 Alex Smith points. He rushes a little bit. Kansas City's got a great matchup at home. I think that's easy to me. I mean, he may not be the highest one of those three if one of these guys happens to have a good game, but I don't think he's going to be the lowest one. I think he's going to be a nice, safe fit.
Yeah, Alex Smith isn't going to kill you, and I think that's the point there. Whedon, I think Whedon has every opportunity to succeed here.
Or blow it. That's the thing.
Right, with the way DeMarco Murray's rolling, you know, we talk about, I was wondering, we may yet get some questions, at least some concerns about Dez Bryant. I don't think this hurts Dez Bryant. You know, Whedon can get the ball down the field, and he's going to get his. If I'm worried about anybody, it's Terrence Williams this week with Romo out. Yeah, Alex Smith, he's just a save it. I mean, you want to talk about the picture of consistency, 223, 221, 158, you know, 67% completion percentage. Here's what concerns me about Alex Smith, Rig, and I don't know if you could pull up for me what Hoyer's numbers are. I got too much going on here. Only 9 touchdowns right now from Alex Smith, but at the same time, only 4 picks. You know, I think Alex Smith's the safest play there.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Hoyer has 8 touchdowns.
All right, well, then there you go.
And he does have the 2 picks. He's got 1,722 passing yards.
Yeah, take Alex Smith. You know what you're going to get from him. He's not going to crush you. It's a decent little matchup. Maybe you could pick up a little extra. But you're going to be right around 200 yards, right around 1 touchdown. But he's not going to throw 3 interceptions. He's not going to crush you, which these other guys could do. I'm going to agree with you.
Hoyer has been very much like Alex Smith, if you think about it. You're going to get your 230, you know, 240, and a touchdown. He's had 1 3 touchdown day. That was against Tennessee on that spectacular comeback when they were down 28-0
or
whatever
so
it was.
Just flinging it everywhere.
But against Pittsburgh, 1 touchdown. New Orleans, 1. Baltimore, 1. Pittsburgh again, 1. Jacksonville, none. Oakland, 1. I mean, you're going to get your 1 touchdown from Hoyer, your 240, and, you know, you can go home with it.
Now, I am going to throw this out there. The highest upside is Whedon. Would you be stunned You'd be surprised. Would you be stunned if Weeden went out and threw for 302 touches?
No. You can throw on Arizona, plus Patrick Peterson had concussion symptoms.
Right.
And so, no, certainly the highest potential is Brandon Weeden, no doubt about that. There's no question about that in my mind. So maybe if you're one of these guys, you're
down 40
below,
coming out of Thursday.
Well, you're below 500 and you're trying to make a push for the playoffs. You may want to swing for the fences and go for the highest upside.
Right.
You know, if you're sitting on top of the division, I think Alex Smith is a safer play simply
right.
because of his legs over Brian
yeah.
Hoyer, because that guy can move.
Right, exactly. And Brandon Weeden, I would not be stunned. I wouldn't even be surprised, to be honest with you, if he threw for 320, three touchdowns. I also wouldn't be stunned or surprised if he threw for 125, one touchdown, and three picks. And so that's where, you know, if you need a big swing for the fences play, you know, Brandon Weeden does intrigue me. But, yeah, if I'm making that recommendation, knowing what I know, it's Alex Smith for me as well.
All right. Hey, we're caught up. Why don't you give us a start for this week?
Boy, so many guys. So, you know what? All the talk about Chris Sims. I'm starting Bobby Rainey this week. I'm going to recommend Bobby Rainey. It's risky. I understand that. If he fumbles early, he's not going to see the field again. It's a good matchup he has this week. He has succeeded when getting the carries. You know, going up against that Cleveland defense, you can run on them a little bit, not a lot. Nothing else is really flowing for them. V-Jax is dealing with those injury concerns. I like the potential of Bobby Rainey. And I'm starting Chris Sims in some leagues, too. Don't get me wrong, because of the situation we're in. I find Bobby Rainey intriguing, and I have him starting in a couple of leagues. I'm going to recommend him to you if you're in the same dire straits that I am this week.
Yeah, Bobby Rainey's not bad. Like I said, his biggest drawback right now is his three lost fumbles and the little Tiki Barber syndrome from earlier on. But, yeah, I don't see where that's a bad start at all. Doug Martin's not playing. And
he wouldn't be playing if he was there.
Sims is activated, but you don't know how much work he's going to get. Bobby Rainey has acquitted himself pretty well. I'm going to throw out a start here, and I'm sure a lot of people probably are starting him now if you haven't bought into it. But I'll tell you what, Denard Robinson looks like the deal
to
me
in right?
Jacksonville. And you know what? We talked about the matchup before. You know, we were talking about the question of Bortles against Cincinnati. But, you know, on the rushing side of things, Cincinnati's given up 4.8 yards a carry and almost 141 yards a game rushing. I think Jacksonville's going to gain some yards on the ground. And Denard Robinson, to me, has really – he was on the watch list last week. I think this guy is a spark plug for Jacksonville, such as it may be. They're not very good. But this kid's good.
Right, and it's ride the hot hand. If they're going to keep giving him the ball and he's going to keep succeeding with 100-yard games, you worry about there's still rumblings coming out of Jacksonville this week.
That
they want to work Gerhardt back in, that Storm Johnson's a guy they really like. But I think, and it's easy to talk about that on Wednesday and Thursday, when you hit the field and you got Denard Robinson ripping them off for a clip and actually moving that offense that hasn't moved in years, I think they have to keep giving them the ball. And I don't know if I buy this long term. I mean, I hate when these guys just emerge out of nowhere, you know what I mean, and put up a couple games. Because how many times then we get on here and we scream, now it's time to start, and then they go out and they get four carries the next week. That's a risk you take with guys like this, but I'm going to agree. They're good. He's the hot hand now. You got to do it. And in a week, in a season so lacking in running back availability, you got to do it. I like it. And the upside is there. And this week especially is all about upside.
I agree. Okay, let's get back to the chat room here. We have a PPR flex question. Sanu, Andre Johnson, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, or McKinnon?
Ugh. Andre Johnson in a PPR format. He hasn't had that week, but you know he has that potential for 10, 11, 12 grabs sometimes. Yeah, Frank Gore's tough to sit. McKinnon's going to get a lot of opportunity there. You know, we talked a lot about Sanu at the top of the show and what it means with A.J. Greenback. I like all those guys, to be honest with you. Name recognition, potential. Give me Andre Johnson on that list.
Boy, yeah, it's really, really close to me. You know, I hate to sit Andre Johnson in a situation like that, but, you know, and I say, you know, you start Frank Gore until he retires. But in a PPR format, I think I put Andre Johnson slightly over Gore and then McKinnon and then Sanu and Vernon Davis.
Yeah, that's my order exactly. Okay. But it's close at the top.
Okay, 32-teamer, if curious.
Boy.
We have a PPR question. Marquise Lee or DeAnthony Thomas?
This is why I had 32-team league. I had a man's league there. Marquise Lee, who was the other one?
DeAnthony Thomas.
Oh, boy, that's tough. In this situation, you're looking for the biggest upside. You're looking for the opportunity to get in the end zone. Is it Lee? I think it might be Lee. It's close, but I think it might be Lee, Rick. I got to think about this one a minute.
Yeah, I think I would edge out DeAnthony Thomas with Marquise Lee. I think, you know, DeAnthony Thomas just hasn't really gotten a lot. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going Lee. I think the upside's there with Lee much more than DeAnthony Thomas right now.
And
last week, as a matter of fact, against the Rams, all right, in a blowout, 34-7, you know, DeAnthony Thomas only saw 21% of the snaps on offense. Marquise Lee sees more than that.
Right.
You know he's going to. So I'm going with Marquise Lee.
And what I'm looking at is only 7 targets for Thomas this week. I'm looking up real quick what Marquise Lee's targets are, but they've got to be significantly higher than that. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here. I am efforting that real closely, but that's what it's going to come down to for me is targets. And, yeah, he's got 21 targets this year, so he's tripling them up in terms of targets. You don't love either one of them, don't get me wrong. It's a 32-team league. That's a man's league, and well done, sir, for participating in that.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Hey, we got a call on the line, Rick,
All right.
We can hop over to that real
quick.
Area code 860. Good morning.
Good morning, Asylum Kings. It's Dean from Connecticut checking in with you.
Well, Dean, how are you?
I'm good, man. I missed your show last week because I had to watch that Atlanta game. I had a lot of interest in that game. I was going up against Matt Ryan. But
that was an epic fail on Atlanta's part as far as I'm concerned.
That was great. I loved it, man. I loved Ryan sucking it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. But we were actually we were doing the show and keeping track of it, and then when we went off the air, it was 21. I think it was 21-3 or something that I can't remember. And I told Rick that there's plenty of time for them to blow it. Lo and behold, they did. So what's going on, man?
Excuse me?
I said, what's going on?
Oh, ever since Pedro's been back, things are falling into place, man.
Well, you missed last week's show. So what's happened is, and actually we put out on Twitter, you need to hit up at Asylum Football on Twitter. We tweeted out a picture of our new producer, Cole.
Yeah.
Pedro,
this week, as we went on the air at about 10 after 10, thanks to Pedro. So he's gone now.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
But hey, he's looking for a job. We could send you his contact info if you need anything done around the house. Pretty handy.
Does he do leaves? Does he rake leaves?
Yeah, he'll do anything at this point.
The thing is, he burns them too, so you got to be careful.
No, I'll do it myself. Yeah, guys, I'm fighting tooth and nail in this league because, I drafted Calvin and Rudolph and Monty Ball and Cordell Patterson. But you know what? I scratched my way back to 4-4 with the help of you guys. And if the playoffs started today, I'd be in the playoffs.
Well, let's get it where maybe you can get a first-round bye. Let's run the table on out.
There's no byes in this one. But, I get Calvin back next week, so if I can slide through this week, I'll be in good shape. My problem is, man, I've been cobbling these running backs together every week. You know, I had Victor Cruz, Andre Williams. I've dropped both of them. I've used multiple running backs. Anyways, this week, I need you guys to help me out here. I need 2 out of these 3. I got McKinnon and LaFell, and I got, San Diego, Brandon Oliver. Which 2 of those guys would you put in this lineup today, McKinnon, Oliver, and LaFell?
This is PPR, right?
No, this is a standard one. In my PPR league, man, I'm 6-2. I'm rocking and rolling in that league. I'm all good in that league. I just plug in Murray, Ellington, and Lock, and I just leave that lineup every week, and I rock that week. But this league is a problem.
I tell you what, you know, with the activation of Donald Brown, there's a slight chance you could see a little decline of Brandon Oliver.
Yeah.
I think right now LaFell's a hot hand, and like Rick says, it'll probably be 13-10, but by all signs point to a shootout with New England and Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So I like LaFell. I certainly like him. And I tell you what, I find it very hard to bench McKinnon. He's the guy. Matt Asiata has taken, you know, second stage. He's just sitting there catching a few passes here and there. And McKinnon is the guy. And I don't think they have that bad of a matchup. I know Washington's pretty stout at times. Boy, I tell you what, but Rick, you elaborate. Let me think about this.
That Miami matchup is a nice one for Oliver. But after coming on so strong at the beginning, he's been disappointing the last couple of weeks. Donald Brown, I don't have a lot of fear of Donald Brown, but that is a handful of carries going away. I think it's Brandon LaFell number one for me on that list. I think this game's got to be a shootout, which we all know what that means. But Oliver, you know, the last couple games, what was 15 for 67, 13 for 36 against Kansas City and Denver, two pretty good defenses there. McKinnon based on opportunity, LaFell based on being the hot hand, and I'm going to throw Oliver out just based on that.
Yeah, I think I roll with McKinnon too. I mean, that was my initial feeling, and I'm trying to reanalyze because San Diego is a much more explosive offense. However, they got more weapons too, so I think I'll just stick with McKinnon.
Yeah, that's who I was hoping you'd say, man, because I was at work last Thursday night listening to that San Diego game on the radio, man, and all I heard was, Brandon Oliver, -5 yards, stuffed in the backfield. I was like, oh, my God, dude, this guy's killing me.
Yeah, exactly, and yeah, I think it might have been a bit anomalous when he first came on. These things have a way of working themselves out, reverting back to the norm. And McKinnon, look, I don't know, does he put up big numbers, but I know he's going to get 20 touches before it's all said and done. Asiata's just completely disappeared, so that's where I feel safe there. And I still hope, you know, they play this game in the 40s in New England like they should.
That's cool. Hey, you guys are from the Pittsburgh area, man. Just looking ahead to next week, Andrew Luck's on a bye. I snagged Roethlisberger. And I also snagged the Steelers' defense to go up against the Jets. What do you think about that?
Well, I certainly like Big Ben, especially for a backup role. I mean, he's starting in many, many leagues, and he's not going to kill you. That's for sure, because he's right up there. I think he's about fifth or sixth in fantasy scoring. So, I mean, he's certainly a good starter. The Pittsburgh defense,
it's the Jets, though, man.
I know, it is the Jets. That's what I was going to say. The defense itself isn't that great, but
I know.
So I would, yeah, I mean, why not, man?
Yeah, it's a risky play with that defense. Anybody can turn. You know, they're already talking about bringing Geno Smith back. Yeah, one thing historically, I believe that game's in New York. The Steelers play awful up there. They won a couple of years ago and have been the first time in a lot of years. But I don't know what's going to be better out there on the waiver wire, and you hope for the opportunity for some turnovers. Although I will say Chris Ivory, a little teaser for next week, Chris Ivory is going to be a start for me when they go up against the Steelers. But you're not going to be able to throw all over them. I think it'll be one of those bend-don't-break situations. And if you pick up a couple turnovers, you know New York's not going to score in the 30s, which is a bonus in this season especially.
Well, thanks for the info, guys, and I'm also winning some. I've been listening to you guys all the time on Thursday night and all that, and I'm winning some money in FanDuel and DraftDuel too, man. I've already won $50, so.
Yeah, I love that daily stuff. I might just go exclusively to that. These all-season leagues exhaust me. I'm worn out. It's been a bad year. I might just go all daily. That's the way to roll.
All right, man. You guys have a good Sunday, and good luck today.
All right.
Take care, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, later.
All right, let's get back to the chat room here. We have a standard question. We need one from Morris, Forsett, Breen.
Boy, I like all of those guys' matchups.
I do too, but I got to roll with Alfred Morris in standard.
Such a nice matchup.
It's a nice matchup. and he gets a ton of work.
But Forsett could get his against that Steelers offense. Here's the problem. Again, now this game is going to be played in the 40s, but this is usually a 16-9 game, you know, and I don't think we're going to get to predicting the games here this morning. We're already at the top of the hour. Scott will be joining us soon. But, yeah, you don't see a lot of offense in this game. I'll go Morris. That matchup is too good. I think you're going to want to try to run the ball, you know, if you're Washington this week. So, yeah, I'm going to go Morris. But I tell you what, Forsett's a close second. It's, man, that's tough for me. But I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Morris.
Okay, real quick here, PPR, A.J. Green, Brandon LaFell, Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh,
who? Wow.
Dude, I got to get in some of these leagues. I don't have any decisions like this. Oh, man. A.J. Green. He's A.J. Green. You know, LaFell's the hot hand. I like him.
Give me Fitzgerald.
Really?
Yes, sir.
I don't trust him. I'm going to disagree. This is, I think, the first time today we're going to vehemently disagree with each other. It's A.J. Green.
To me, A.J. Green is third. He's coming back from a turf.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's got a turf toe, man, and... You know, I just think...
He took 3 weeks off for it, though, and that's what that turf toe needs. He's
A.J. Green.
Yeah,
and this guy's still Larry Fitzgerald, and they're starting to roll.
Right.
And I'm...
Do you buy what he did last week?
Yeah.
You buy that? I don't. It's been 3 seasons since we've seen this. I can't trust him. Now, that being said, I'm starting on about 5 lineups today, but it's A.J. Green for me with a bullet, with a cannonball.
Cannonball. I love it. All right, well, we agree to disagree, and I am glad that we do.
All right, we got a call on the line. I believe this may be Scott. Scott, is that you?
This is Scott. Hey, guys, I have a question for you. I was watching Big Ben last week just torch up the Colts, and I wondered, as a Viking fan here, what's it like having a legit NFL-caliber quarterback throwing passes? It must be fun to watch.
It's not bad. It's nice. Although, watch tonight, and you'll see that it's not every week. For some reason, Baltimore owns him. What I don't like is not having a legitimate NFL defense and sweating out a game where this guy breaks every record in the book, and you're still sweating it out to the very end. But, yeah, that's something you haven't had for a long, long time there in Minnesota since Fran. You're probably not even old enough
Dante
to remember.
Dante Culpepper probably is about the last.
Yeah, I get it.
No, you're right. It is Fran Tarkenton. We have not had a quarterback start all 16 or the entire NFL season since Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah,
but there is fun in that because when my quarterback drops back to pass, I have no clue what's going to happen. It could be a pick six. It could be a completion. I have no idea every drop back. So that is kind of fun.
All right. Well, you know, like I mentioned earlier on, I apologize for not sending you. It's just been crazy hectic. And so you're just going to get blindsided with these questions as well. I just dug them out and got them together this morning, going through all the emails and junk like that. So I didn't even have a chance to send it to you, and I apologize, but too bad.
I'm going to jump in here, Rick, real quick. Breaking news, hot across the wire, and this one stuns me. This comes from ESPN's Adam Kaplan, and I'll just read it word for word. Although Buccaneers rookie running back Charles Sims was activated from short-term IR, the team could hold him out of Sunday's game in Cleveland. Instead, the Bucs might give running back/receiver Marcus Thigpen some carries behind Bobby Rainey, the report said. So to that guy way back when, we recommended started Rainey. Maybe let's
Sims,
let's back off of that.
And
my
it.
Start is Bobby Rainey. I think just took another big step up because if Marcus Thigpen's behind him, you may be able to get away with a fumble. That stuns me with everything going on. You wonder, this kid must not be healthy yet.
That could be. I mean, you know, he's come back with an ankle injury, I believe, and, you know, I wasn't all that thrilled. I just didn't see him making a huge splash to start with anyway. I mean, number one is Tampa, but, I mean, you know, Bobby Rainey, I think, is certainly safe this week.
No, I feel like not being one of them draft guys, Sims was a guy a lot of – you're one of them draft guys, Scott. Sims was a guy you guys were high on coming into the year, wasn't he?
He's a do-it-all pass-catching back. I don't think he's – excellent at anything, but he's good at just about everything, one of those types of backs, in my opinion. But definitely a good pass catcher, so that's what you need in the NFL nowadays.
All right. Well, hey, let's hit the mailbag here. We didn't even get to our game predictions or anything. We are running way behind, but that's okay. We don't care.
We're busy today.
That's right. Okay, we have a PPR question. And I thought this one was very interesting because, especially with the buys, I can see where this is coming up. Torrey Smith or Lewis Murphy?
I'll tell you what, Torrey Smith, I don't have the game splits in front of me. I'll look them up while you guys talk. I feel like Torrey Smith eats the Steelers' lunch. That's Torrey Smith pretty easily for me. Yeah, Lewis Murphy's too much of a risk. I like Torrey Smith in that one.
Go ahead,
Scott. I'm with Fleeger on this one. I would rather have Torrey Smith in a divisional matchup. Even though it feels like Steelers-Ravens games tend to be low scoring, I'd rather have Torrey Smith in. I think he's a lot safer than Lewis Murphy.
Yeah, I think he is safer. However, I think it is closer for me than maybe some of the other people. I mean, Lewis Murphy, since he come back from cleaning cars or whatever he was doing against Pittsburgh, he's done nothing but produce on a lackluster offense. So I think you're going to get, you know, fairly stable production as such as it may be with Tampa, but I still think the upside with Torrey Smith, and he's a little safer.
Well, and you nailed it. The breakout game for Lewis Murphy was against who?
The Steelers.
Who's Torrey Smith playing today?
Oh, the Steelers.
Bam.
What are Torrey Smith's stats against Pittsburgh,
I'm still looking it up.
Okay, you look them up here. But, Scott, anyway,
we'll get back there. You can go to the next
question. We'll move on here. It was unanimous anyway, no matter how close it is. But we have to pick two in a PPR format. We have Brandon Oliver, D-Mac, and Andre Williams.
Wow. So we have Oliver versus Miami, that's okay.
I'm sorry, yeah.
McFadden versus Seattle, I don't like that. And then who's the third option?
Andre Williams, who is at home against the Colts.
Yeah, I think that's got to be my option. That Colts defense has looked good this year against the pass for the most part, but, man, they were torched last week. I feel like Andre Williams has one more okay, decent 9 to 10 point start out of him. I don't trust the other two this week. Brandon Oliver is a little bit tempting, but I'm going with Andre Williams.
We have to pick two.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'd bench D-Mac then. Wow.
Yeah, me too. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer when they're playing at Seattle. Look, you know, McFadden's been looking fairly good, but I don't like that matchup at all. Give me Oliver and Andre Williams.
Yeah, I do like Oliver's matchup against Miami. We talked about it with Dean a little bit, and just in that list he had there. And Andre Williams has been just tremendously disappointing to me. But D-Mac, there's too much there, and I don't know how many opportunities he gets. So, yeah, I'll make it unanimous on that one.
All right. Have you found Torrey Smith's stats yet?
I'm still looking.
Yeah, he's trying to justify this by, you know, being a cannonball or whatever it was. Okay, help, said the email.
Oh, wow, that's never good.
Yeah, Cutler and Ryan are on a bye. So is it Austin Davis or Mike Glennon?
Ugh. Austin Davis or Mike Glennon?
I really don't like Tampa Bay at Cleveland, but I really hate St. Louis. In fact, I went blank on who they're playing here right now. Who was it?
San Francisco,
yeah. I mean, but I'll tell you what, you know, Austin Davis, I guess, no, I have to go with Glennon. I just think it's just safer to me. We have Rainey starting, you still have Vincent Jackson and so forth. I just don't trust the Rams. They've lost. You know, they've had injury problems, this RBBC, the Fisher's trying. I just don't like it. So I'm going Glenn.
Yep, it's Glennon for me. Their defense, the Browns' defense, has more interceptions than San Francisco, but it's less yards and less touchdowns. I think that's really close, but I'm going to lean Glennon.
Yeah, I'll agree. We've seen Austin Davis has the potential to put up some numbers, but that San Francisco defense isn't one I would think it would be with. I think Glennon's safer if you ever think Mike Glennon's safe, so I'll make that one unanimous. I'm about to give up on this search here. I don't know. The Google machine's letting me down.
Oh, you you saw the stash, didn't like what you saw, so now you're going to pretend like you can't find
them. You're accusing me of skullduggery? Is that what you're saying?
Indubitably. Okay. All right, Scott, you go first on this one here. And, of course, it's not real significant now because he is ruled out. So Doug Martin is out. So basically it's Andre Williams and now Davis. I think it's just Andre Williams. It was so interesting when it looked like Martin might play.
Yeah, I can see that being interesting. I still would have taken Andre Williams with Martin playing, though. Cleveland's run is decent, so.
Yeah, Rick, he's just ignoring us, so we're just going to forget about him. Okay, Alan.
He's really invested in Torrey Smith or something. Wow. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know why this has become so important to me, but I want to find these stats because I feel like he just kills the Steelers.
Now, this person did not say it was standard or PPR, so I'm not real sure. But we have Alan Robinson, Torrey Smith, or Hakeem Nicks.
Torrey Smith, baby. I'm sticking with it.
Wow, I'm going Alan Robinson. I don't like the Cincinnati matchup, but Robinson he's been the number one receiver the last 3-4 weeks, and I think he's got at least 5 targets in like 6 straight weeks. So
I'm with you, Scott. I got to go Alan Robinson. I don't like Torrey Smith is too inconsistent for me. He may put up a couple of touchdowns, 120 yards, but he may put up 20 yards. So I'm going Allen Robinson. And Hakeem Nicks, to me, is just out of the picture. Just don't even consider him when you got these guys. Rick is continuing to ignore us, and it's incredibly important to him that he is correct.
All right, I'm giving up. I'm X-ing out of this. I'm giving up. Torrey Smith played well at Steelers. Write it down. You heard it here on the Asylum.
All right. Okay, should I roll with Nick Foles at Houston or have Eli at home versus Indianapolis?
I am rolling with Nick Foles week in and week out. I still tend to be surprised all the Nick Foles questions we get. And, yeah, he's reverted back every now and again, but the potential for this guy to throw for 404 touchdowns is there every single week. And I know this is the time of year, and we've seen some good Eli leading up to the bye week. But Nick Foles is in every week for me. And like I said, it surprises me as many Nick Foles questions as we get.
Yeah, and as inconsistent as the Giants can be, I think that's probably maybe the only knock that you have on Foles. But, yeah, certainly to me, I'm going Nick Foles over Eli.
Yep, I like that matchup to have a lot of scoring that Philly-Houston game. I could easily see both teams having like a 34-27 type game, so I would go with Nick Foles there.
All right. So, okay, well, let's go to the chat room here. We have one here. I have the 49ers defense starting, but the Ravens and Cards are available. What do you think? I think you should stay with 49ers. I love that matchup at home against the Rams.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's more potential there. The Ravens aren't going to give up a lot of points, so this may depend on your scoring system a little bit. I don't know how many turnovers you see there. There's a big possibility that Austin Davis goes out and throws 3 picks. I think, yeah, you're fairly safe there. You've got the San Francisco defense. You drafted them for a reason. That's the smart play. It's a safe play. You know, potential to get in the end zone. I'm sticking with them all day.
I think St. Louis is the least likely of those matchups to blow up points-wise, so that's why I would take 49ers starting defense. I can see Dallas going off. I can see Pittsburgh going off. So I think St. Louis is the team that's probably not going to blow up. So go 49ers. I do have an update for you, Rick Flieger. Torrey Smith, 1 reception, 10 yards, 3 for 61, 1 for 7, 0 for 0, 6 for 93 in a touch, 5 for 71 in a touch. Those are Torrey Smith's career games versus Pittsburgh. So two really big games and one medium game. And
it's Torrey Smith. He has a big day or he's crap. So, he may have the big day, where he may be nothing. So, I mean, it's one of those deals. Now, if he's on Cortez Allen, look for 223
right.
yards and three touchdowns. But
yeah, so those numbers aren't what I thought they were. I must be remembering those two big games. I do remember the one late. It was a Sunday night game. He made some ridiculous catch late in the game, and the Steelers lost. This happens a lot. So
right.
I don't say this often, so I was wrong. But I'm sticking with it, by God. Torrey Smith, baby, 225 and two touches this week.
Yeah,
don't write that down.
Getting back to the chat room question, I think Scott made a great point. You know, the Pittsburgh offense and the Dallas offense are so much better than the St. Louis offense. I think if St. Louis scores over 20 points, I think it's going to be defensive touchdowns that's going to get them over that. I just don't think that they have the opportunity to score nearly as much against San Francisco. All right, let's move back to the mailbag here. And where are we at? Okay. PPR for a flex position, Malcolm Floyd or Martavius Bryant?
Oh, I love this Bryant kid, but that's tough for me because Malcolm Floyd, I think, is a safer play. I'm going to swing for the fences and take the upside of Bryant. This kid is taking this offense by storm, and I think the performance of the offense, we talked about Ben's performance last week, he's taking the lid off of defenses and done what Marcus Wheaton,
whoever.
If I could spit that out, you know, that other guy. Yeah, Bryant's the swing for the fences play, and I'm in a swing for the fences mood today, Rick. So I'm going to go with Bryant with the caveat that Floyd's probably a little safer.
All right, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I like Fleeger's style. I love that style. I'm also going Bryant. I think Malcolm Floyd is your safe bet for three or four grabs for like 50, 60 yards. 50 yards, maybe. Probably going to get you 8 fantasy points this week, one way or another. But I think it's hard not to ride the hot hand of Martavis Bryant. And I think that Pittsburgh has really figured out how to use him, and their offense it wasn't scoring that much in the first 4 or 5 games of the season. I think they've kind of figured out how to run that offense now. Even though Baltimore Pittsburgh games are a little lower scoring, I think they're
going to
get him involved.
And, you know, you probably don't know it because it is San Diego, but Malcolm Floyd is behind Keenan Allen, Antonio Gates, and Eddie Royal in catches. And he's not one of the premier targets for Phil Rivers. He's a good, safe, you know, possession guy. But I think Martavius Bryant, I like what Rick's saying. You swing for the fences. This guy's putting up touchdowns. And if this offense can put up 51 on Indianapolis, if they stay clicking, I know, you know, historically these Baltimore-Pittsburgh games are rough and tumble, low-scoring ones. I tell you what, though, I still like the potential of Pittsburgh offense. I like Bryant to here, too.
And the thing with Bryant is he's played 2 games, and he just showed up, set up a tent in the end zone, and that's what the kid's doing, 3 touchdowns in 2 games. Yeah, you know, Malcolm Floyd's a long shot for a touchdown, so that seems to be Eddie Royal's role
yeah.
in that offense and Antonio Gates. So, you know, and also, though, I wouldn't be surprised if Bryant goes out and takes a goose egg because that's what rookies in their third game potentially do. But like I said, I'm in a swing for the fences kind of mood today.
Yeah, why not? And I mean, this
probably
is
2-6 in most leagues.
This
so
is the huge bye week of the year, so you might as well swing for the potential here. Okay, we're going to pick 2 in PPR, and it's Ben Tate, Zach Stacy, Darren Sproles, Lamar Miller. Scott, you can take the honors here.
Okay, Tate, Stacy, Sproles, and Miller?
Yeah.
I think I'm going Tate and Miller. Stacy, I still can't trust. Especially in San Francisco, I just can't trust Stacy or anything about that St. Louis running back. In fact, unless you're in really dire need, I don't know that you can start any St. Louis Rams week to week in general. Sproles is really, really tempting in a game I've already said I think is going to be pretty high scoring. But Miller is a top 15 running back right now, and Cleveland is just running the ball so much. I think Tate and Sproles are close, but I'm going to lean Miller and Tate, Sproles third.
I think I'll have to agree with you. Sproles is tempting, but, you know, he's behind LeSean McCoy, period. And I like Lamar Miller, obviously, you know, especially with Marino gone. And, you know, Ben Tate, like you said, Cleveland runs, and they got a pretty good matchup, so that's who I'm going with as well.
Yeah, for me, it's Miller easily. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to throw myself out on a small island here with Darren Sproles. There's a report right at the top of CBS here this morning that he's expected to be, quote, full tilt this week. I mean, for all the reasons Scott said, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, assuming this is a PPR format. You know, Tate scares me. They keep wanting to mess with the other, you know, with Terrence West and with all these other donkeys they have there in Cleveland. If I knew Ben Tate was going to get 20 carries, this would be an easy question. Again, I'm swinging for the fences today, so give me Sproles for the big game potential. And I think, as much as I hate him personally, I don't hate him personally, but I got a bad taste in my mouth about Lamar Miller. He's easily number one on this list. He's probably a nice guy. I should quit saying stuff.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, if he dislikes you, then I like him all the more.
Well, that's he would hate me, I'm guessing.
No doubt. Okay, should I start Charles Clay or Jason Witten?
Ugh. There was a story read this morning that Witten expected to be in even more blocking this week, but Charles Clay's been a train wreck. So Jason Witten on potential for a touchdown. You got a Whedon in there. What a nice guy to rely on if you're looking for a guy to rely on. Might be more upside with Clay. I don't even know if that's true. Witten expected to be in blogging. I think you're going to see a whole hell of a lot of DeMarco Murray this week. But it's Jason Witten. I'm going to take the coward's way out and just go with Witten.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, up until last week, I would have said Charles Clay is your safe little bet for like 5 to 7 fantasy points. But what do you have, like 1 yard left last week? I think Jason Witten's just a lot safer, actually. Arizona is actually not as good against the pass as you would think. I'm trying to check what they are against tight ends. I don't know that specifically. It looks like they're middle of the pack. But I got to go with Witten. Witten's floor, his downside, is probably what Clay's going to get. And then his upside's higher, so.
Yeah, Witten obviously is not that 100-catch guy any longer, but then again, it's still Jason Witten. And because he will catch it and whatever it is, it's out of respect, they're going to give him a few feeds, whether Brandon Whedon's in there or Tony Romo, whoever it is, they're going to throw to him, and he's going to be a safe bet to catch a few. So, yeah, it's Jason Witten with me. Clay, you just don't know what you're going to get with him. He kind of took the fantasy world by storm a little bit last year towards the end, but, you know, he's just not making any impact at all this year. So, definitely Jason Witten.
Well, to be honest, we knew it'd be Witten for you because, in order, if you had to marry a man, it'd be number one, Jim Brown, and number two, Jason Witten, if we were putting a list together.
Brandon Marshall now.
Brandon Marshall's up there, but I think he's a distant third behind Witten. It's Jim Brown easily with one of my bullets, but then Jason Witten's number two, and men Rick Briggs would marry. So,
and
right,
yours
is
Ryan Matthews.
Well, yeah.
No doubt.
I'll tell you, that's a good title for this episode. We just named it, Men Rick Briggs Would Marry. I like
God,
it. All right, I've been looking
for it. That's horrifying. Okay, we are picking two in PPR format, and it is Julian Edelman, Michael Floyd. Save the comments till the end here.
You're surly this morning.
You're just bearing me off to men. What do you expect me to
be like? That's about the third time you told poor Scott to pound it up his hind end, and I don't know why you're being so mean today.
Oh, I thought I'd be quite pleasant. I apologize, Scott. Okay, Julian Edelman, Michael Floyd, Percy Harvin, Odell Beckham, Anquan Boldin.
I need two of these?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I am once bitten, twice shy. I'm going to give Floyd another shot here. That I think the goose egg was the anomaly. I know you have fallen all back in on Larry Fitzgerald. I don't trust it. I think Floyd has the most potential on this list. And then it comes down Beckham versus Bolden, and it comes down again to maybe swinging for the fences versus playing it safe, and we know what I'm doing today. So I'm going to go Michael Floyd and Odell Beckham.
You know, I am going for – I think I'm going all in. I love Anquan Boldin, you know, against St. Louis today. So he's my number one. Edelman, he's really starting to fall off the map a little bit with the emergence of Brandon LaFell.
And Gronk, with Gronk.
And, of course, Gronk, you're right. Percy Harvin I want no part of, but I like Odell Beckham. He hasn't put up huge numbers, but there's just something about it. There's this matchup at home against the Colts. I can see him, a few catches, maybe end zone. So I'm going Beckham, number two.
Well, Bolden is clearly, like very clearly the safest pick. I think it's 5 catches, 50, 60, 70 yards is like his floor today. But I think Fleeger has the correct answer. There's a giant A-plus on the top of his paper for this one. I'm going Michael Floyd and Odell Beckham.
An A-plus on top of his
paper. See what happens? You get surly, and now all of a sudden
he's your buddy.
Pete
Fleeger. I got
That's
you.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, keep acting that way, pal.
Okay. All right, here we have one more question, and then we are through the mailbag here. We have Allen Robinson or Eddie Royal at PPR.
Oh, that's tough. I'll let you start, Scott.
No, that's not tough for me at all. I'm a big time Allen Robinson guy. I realize that his matchup's tough, but I will take all that to all those targets. I mean, last few weeks, like 10, 7, 9, 11, it's been the Allen Robinson show, and he's had a touchdown, two of the last 3 weeks as well. And five straight weeks. I think Allen Robinson is a lot safer than people probably think he is. He's my guy right now. Go Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I'll go along with that, Scott. I mean, it's a testament to what he's been doing. Is I haven't had, and you know yourself, we haven't had Jacksonville receiver questions save maybe Hearns.
Yeah,
all year long.
Yeah, first couple
because,
of weeks.
Yeah, because he actually had a couple of big weeks. But, yeah, Allen Robinson has established himself as the guy in Jacksonville, and albeit, you know, they're not all that potent, but with Denard Robinson running for 100 yards, and if they can get things going and get away from the Toby Gerhardt experiment, you know, I think they may have a little potential just to throw up some points. So I really like what Robinson's doing. I think it's pretty easy over Eddie Royal.
Yeah. Eddie Royal, it's that touchdown potential where I get hung up on that. He went on that little run last season. He had a little run here a couple weeks ago. I got to admit, and I'll bow to you, Scott. I've been sleeping on Allen Robinson. I'm looking at these numbers, these target numbers. Going back to the Colts game on the end of September, 10 targets, 7, 11, 9, 7, 10. You know, now the receptions, you know, I'd like to see that percentage a little higher. But, yeah, Eddie Royal's not going to see 10 targets this week, and clearly Allen Robinson is. I might have to hop on this Allen Robinson train here with Scott. This is a guy I've been sleeping on. So, yeah, I'll make it unanimous, and I'll go Allen Robinson here.
I kind of like that, the Allen Robinson. Hey, how about the Allen Robinson Express? That would be a nice name.
I'm not changing the name of the episode. The name of the episode is Guys Rick Riggs with Mary. I'm not changing it. My mind is made up.
Maybe yeah, we'll couple of guys, Rick Briggs would marry on the Allen Robinson Express.
Hey, there you go.
I like maybe we'll find a way. Maybe all right. So the picture will be some sort of train, but not changing the title of the
okay.
show.
Hey, maybe you could put like Allen Robinson's face on the head of the locomotive.
Let's
you know?
Not get cute. Yeah. You see me try to turn this computer on in
true.
The morning. I'm not doing any photos.
That's true. Well,
here.
Scott, we're through the mailbag and we are about out of time. And we certainly appreciate you coming on every week and lending your expertise to help us through. And I tell you what, this is a tough week with all these. You know, potent offensive players on a bye this week.
Yeah, Bimageddon. That's what they've been calling it, Bimageddon. Yeah, it's the right week. Thanks. Yeah, I like it too. Thanks for having me, guys. It's always a blast. You can I'll quickly throw in. You can find me on Twitter at ScottFish24.
All right, Scott. We appreciate it. Can't wait to do it again next week. Have a good week.
All right, you too, guys. Later.
See you, Scott.
All right, Ray. We're about out of time. You want to take a run over 5 minutes? Go ahead and pick the games. I always do
let's
enjoy
do it.
Picking them. So let's start out Jacksonville at Cincinnati.
Well, you know, it's at Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati is a much better team. We've been talking a lot about Jacksonville. just not quite there. I like Cincinnati 37, Jacksonville 21.
Yeah, this NFC North race has gotten real tight here, and it would probably have to be sitting here with a three-way tie if it wasn't for that. With that tie in
right.
Cincinnati, and I hate those. I can't even figure out who's in first place when you throw that tie
in. Cincinnati, a half game.
Yeah, they need this game. They're going to have to keep pace with somebody because somebody between the Steelers and the Ravens is coming out of there.
Right.
6-3. They're going to have to keep pace. This race is going to stay tight, and Jacksonville isn't a game they're going to lose at home. I'm going to go Cincinnati by double digits.
Okay.
Oh, I'm reading them off.
Yes,
Tampa Bay
are.
At Cleveland. I am out of it today, buddy.
I like the matchup at Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's staying competitive. Tampa Bay is not that good. I like Cleveland 27-16.
Yeah. I don't think this is a game Tampa Bay goes and wins on the road. And Cleveland, look, not completely out of it yet. I think pretty close to out of it. But Cleveland, their game. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be one of those low-scoring, ugly type of affairs. I think Cleveland wins this one by a late field goal. How about Arizona at Dallas? Interesting game as it was, and then you throw Tony Romo out, it changes everything.
Yeah, it really does. And I'll tell you what, I still like Dallas's chances. Their defense has stepped up. Brandon Whedon, you know, with weapons around him, seemed to acquit himself fairly well last week, even though it was a loss. It wasn't spectacular. They hadn't played much. But I still like Arizona. I like 27-20.
Yeah, I think if Tony Romo was in there, that I might like Dallas a little bit in this game because I just keep carrying on that Arizona isn't good enough to now go 7-1 or 8-1. I'm not sure if they've had their bye yet. But look, these are two teams that I think are equal, and now you take Tony Romo out, and you got Carson Palmer versus Brandon Whedon. Arizona wins the quarterback battle there, and Arizona finds a way to win that one on the road by, we'll say, by a touchdown. Philadelphia at Houston.
I tell you what, you know, I still think Houston has benefited from some easy games to get the record where it is. I still like Philly 30, Houston 24.
Yeah, I don't think this game is close. I think you see a lot of offense, but I don't think this game's close. I think Philadelphia goes down there, just runs them right out of the gym. I think Philadelphia by 13. New York Jets at your Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, I love Kansas City at Kansas City. The Jets are a mess, but their defense isn't bad. So and Kansas City's offense isn't potentially huge, but I still think Kansas City doubles them up 24-12.
Yeah, I think low-scoring affair. I think you're looking at one of these maybe 17-13 type of games Kansas City wins. San Diego at Miami.
Everybody's saying this is a real trap game, and Phillip Rivers is a bust potential and so forth. I like San Diego. I know they're going across country, but it's still a warm climate and everything. 31-20.
Yeah, Miami just isn't very good. I want to pick Miami here because I buy into that West Coast team traveling to the East Coast and playing that 1 o'clock game. I think it's closer than it would be in Miami, but I think San Diego finds a way to win this thing. Phil Rivers much better than Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to take San Diego 24, Miami 17. Washington at Minnesota.
Yeah, we've talked about this game probably more than we should.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a potential big game for both teams. RG3's coming back. I don't know if that's that much of a big step up.
Maybe not this week. Probably
right
not
now.
This week.
I like Minnesota 24-19.
I don't trust Minnesota. I don't like anything Minnesota's doing. I'm going to take the Redskins. I don't know how. I don't know why. I just got a feeling Washington finds a way to win this game, but I think it's going to be my classic 16-9 score. I'm going to go with. Got to have one of those every week. St. Louis at San Francisco.
I think it's a complete blowout this week. St. Louis has traditionally been playing the division pretty well. I just think their offense is in trouble. I like San Francisco 37-13.
Yeah, I've got San Francisco 34-13. Denver at New England.
A shootout, and I think, we mentioned on the Fantasy Sports Network show, I think Denver this week gets Peyton to 10-6 versus Brady, only to lose in the playoff later on, but I think they win this week 34-30.
Yeah, New England's rolling. You know, Denver, this one's so tough. You don't know what Peyton Manning you're going to get in Foxborough. I think Denver, I don't see them finishing 15-1. If they're going to lose a game, this is going to be the one in Foxborough. I'm going to take New England. I'm going to, I want to predict it to be about 9-3 since I think it's going to be a shootout, but I'll probably end up sounding foolish. So give me New England 37, Denver 34. All Oakland right. at Seattle.
I don't like this at all for Oakland. I mean, I know they're going to win sooner or later, but I don't think it's going to be this week. 27-14 Seattle.
Yeah, I think Seattle still continues to disappoint a little bit, but Oakland just isn't there. I'll write about the same score, that same spread. I'm going to take Seattle. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Baltimore dominated in the first game. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think it's going to be a real close game, not a whole lot of scoring. But I like Pittsburgh 23, Baltimore 20.
Yeah, loved what I saw last week out of the Steelers. Bottom line is that's not who they are. They're just not that good. Joe Flacco's found a comfort level against that Steelers defense. I want to pick the Steelers, but I think this is a Baltimore win 23-20. Indianapolis at the Giants on Monday night.
Oh, after the shellacking they took last week, defensively, I think Indianapolis defense is going to be a little better this week. I think Giants will score some points, though. I'd still like Indy 33-24.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think if Indy had won that game last week, I might consider the Giants. We're getting into Eli's time of year. If there's going to be a good Eli, this is that time at home. Indy's just got too much offense, and New York can't keep up with them. I'll go with Indy 35, New York 27. All right, Rick. Well, boy, that goes quick. There's not a
it
lot
does.
Of games this week.
Yeah, I know, really.
So, well, let's get out of here. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you, cool. But...
Yes?
But you should see the panic look on Rick's face.
I didn't know what that was for a minute. You were in the middle of conversation.
being attacked by Indian tribe
really?
Of some sort, or Native American tribe, as we're politically
Whatever.
Correct here on the asylum. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back Thursday, hopefully. We'll be back in some form or the other on Thursday.
One form or another.
I'm
Please
certainly
join
not
us.
Going to promise you anything. Hey, check out fantasysportsnetwork.com. Saturdays at 1, replayed at 9 and 4 a.m. on Sunday, a version of the show you only hear on the fantasysportsnetwork.com, cable vision channel 147 in the New York area, and rapidly growing across the country and
yes,
Canada.
Indeed.
You can find it, so check that out. In some form or the other, we'll be back Thursday. Hit us up at Asylum Football on Twitter right up till game time. We'll keep answering your questions until Thursday. We'll see you.
Take care.
When you're